friends. Welcome to the Fun on Weekdays podcast. I'm your host, Jenna Palik. Every time I say my full name, I'm like, that sounds very formal, but I am going to introduce myself because I imagine there may be maybe some new listeners today. I'm talking about something I have never talked about in my life. It's not a topic I ever thought that I would talk about, but here we are. Today, I am talking about my journey, if you want to call it that, of discovering and being interested in my faith for the very first time in my life. And it's such a weird feeling. It's very overwhelming. I haven't shared that much about it online just because it is like very personal. And I'm still just trying to navigate it myself and try to understand like what I want to do with my emotions. But I figured maybe this will help someone, or maybe you guys listening can also help me. And so yeah, let's just get into it. I want to talk about my faith and my background and how in the past couple of months, maybe 8 months or so, I've had these like really, really insane encounters with what I believe to be God, question mark, or angels, question mark. I don't really know. It's like these really indescribable experiences and coincidences, if you want to call it that, that have happened where I've been like, wait, this is insane. There has to be a bigger meaning for this. It cannot just be coincidence or luck at this point. It can't just be manifestation. So a little bit of background growing up. I was not from a very religious family. Like my parents, we went to church every once in a while. I don't really remember when I was like younger, but for a majority of my childhood, I do remember going to church on Easter and Christmas. And we would alternate going between my mom's parents and with my dad's parents. My dad's mom taught at a church. She taught Sunday school, and they lived at this, in the summer. They lived on Geneva on the Lake, and they lived in this little mobile trailer park place, and they had a really cute church there. And anytime we would go and visit them at Geneva on the Lake, we would go to their church service on Sunday. So we would go to some other services that weren't just on holidays, but for the most part, I was going because my family was going. It wasn't my own decision to be there. And it was more so of a tradition that we had around the holiday time. So as we got a little bit older, my nanny actually passed away a couple of years ago. And I can't even remember the last time I went to Easter service. It had to have been like, I don't know, at least 5 years, probably more than that, because I wasn't going to church at all in college. I would only ever go when I was home for Christmas. And we would always go to the Christmas service on Christmas Eve. But for me, it wasn't really to celebrate, you know, like Jesus's birthday. It was mainly for me to sing with my family and harmonize to Silent Night and sing with our candles. And it was just a tradition that we had. And it didn't really have much meaning other than that. And I feel somewhat guilty to say that, because as I'm like trying to become more knowledgeable and more aware of, I don't know, I guess my faith. I don't even know. See, this is like me even talking about this right now. I don't even know correct terminology because I still am just trying to figure it out. But I am getting ready to leave for the Grand Canyon in literally like 2 minutes. We have to leave for the airport. We're going to Arizona for the weekend, and then I'm going to LA. And I basically packed nothing. I have only ever hiked one time in my life, so I have a book bag, I have a little quarter zip that I brought, and I got a pair of hiking sneakers. But other than that, the only thing I packed in my suitcase are pajamas. I know that I have to get a good night's sleep the night before the canyon. We're waking up at 3 a.m., so I brought two pairs of my Cozy Earth PJs. I got new sets. There's a light blue striped set, and it's long-sleeved, and then I brought my short-sleeved pink little checkered sleeping set too. I always sleep so well in my Cozy Earth PJs, and I have a code for you. It's Fun on Weekdays 35 to get 35% off of your order. Anything that I forgot to pack, I'm going to go to the store when I get to Arizona and make sure that I'm prepared for the hike there. But at least I got the PJs covered. Again, Fun on Weekdays 35 for 35% off. I felt really guilty, you know, not knowing all of the right things, because I was just kind of like showing up there and it was just a tradition. It wasn't like I was there to pray necessarily, and I never knew how to pray. I never prayed at all. So that's my background growing up. So I have also always considered myself a very lucky person. When I was in college, I just, the weirdest things would always happen to me. Things would always work out in my favor. And when I was living in my sorority house my sophomore year, I actually won the superlative for most likely to win the lottery or something like that, like the luckiest person. And people would always say, I don't know how things always work out for you. And my explanation was always like a manifestation. I'm like, if you just say that you want something, it'll happen. But you have to work hard in order to make it come to life. You have to make it happen. So B is making it happen, whatever you want in your life, you know, whether it's getting your dream job or moving to Austin, or for me, dating Connor Saley, like all of these things that I've said that I wanted in my life have come to fruition. And I've always just considered myself a lucky girl. There's that mantra of, you know, lucky girl syndrome, where you say, I'm a lucky girl. Everything happens in my favor. Things always work out the way that I want because I'm lucky and, you know, I deserve this. And for majority of my life, I believed that was the reason why things kept working out. But in the past year, like I said, I've had these like really crazy run-ins and stuff that I've gotten to a point where I'm like, how much of this can truly be luck? So before I can tell you about the first time that I prayed and the first time that something I prayed for came to fruition, I have to tell you about the friend that really inspired this entire journey. So when I first moved to Austin, Texas, one of my very first friends here was Sarah Elizabeth. She's my friend that is now pregnant. I just visited her about a month and a half ago in Florida. And she was the first friend that I had that was very, very, very strong in her faith. And she was the only friend that I had that was very strong in her faith. And for me, that was somewhat of an interesting dynamic because I see this person who has so much light in her. She is so intentional, so kind. Every single person that she interacts with is just like so drawn to her and so captivated by her. And I always found myself feeling like, I don't even know why she chose to be friends with me because I'm not even half the person that she is. And anytime I was going through anything difficult, like I was trying to get through a breakup, or I'm struggling with my self-esteem, or I'm struggling with my job and trying to figure out my direction in life, she would always tell me that she was praying for me. And at that time, I really felt honestly uncomfortable by it because I felt like I needed to be doing something in return for her. And there have been times in my life where I've told people that I'm praying for them and I'm, you know, hoping good things happen to them. And I felt like I was a liar because I had never prayed for anyone. I've definitely thought, you know, good things. I've wished that good things would happen to them. But my idea of praying was literally like getting down on my knees and praying to God and speaking to him directly and it being this whole thing. And so when she said that she was praying for me and all of these hardships that we've gone through together as friends, it felt a little bit uncomfortable at first. But as I continued to find my people in Austin, it just seemed like every single friend that I started to make that I became really close to happened to be very strong in their faith. And again, that's definitely something different than I've experienced in high school or in college. And I'm not saying these friendships are any better or any worse or any stronger or any of that. I'm not comparing the friendships. It's just really the first time that I've surrounded myself with people that are very strong in their beliefs and all align on what they believe in and their faith. And it's like the one thing that kind of grounds them. And so that has been very inspiring to be surrounded by these people who are kind of encouraging me, not in a pressure, not with any pressure by any means to be like, oh, you should come to church. You should do all these things. Like nobody has ever pressured me to believe a certain thing or to do a certain thing or to pray or to do any of these, you know, things to follow my faith at all. But it has definitely inspired me and opened me up to the idea of like, wow, all of these people that I love and care for, that I really admire, all believe in this one thing. And I'm the person on the outside. Like maybe I am the one that's missing out because they all live this beautiful, fruitful, honest, intentional life. And I want to be more like them. And so maybe this is something that I'm like, you know, lacking in my life. Maybe this is the void that I need to fill. So I met Sarah in 2020 when I first moved here. And then she ended up moving to Florida in 2021. And shortly after that, I quit my job, my full-time job at TikTok, and I started doing social media full-time. And I've shared this on my podcast multiple times, as well as on TikTok and other places, I'm sure. but I have definitely had some peaks and pits of being an influencer, if that's what you want to call me. This industry is literally so self-absorbed. It is so materialistic. And When you spend your entire day making videos about yourself, talking about yourself, filming a podcast about yourself, you start to believe that your online life is just so much more important than anything offline. You start to fill all of your extra time with reading comments and reading messages and watching other people's content. And you get so like drawn into this world. And it's so easy to let that completely dictate how you feel about yourself. And I've talked about my snark page a couple of times. I don't talk about it that much because I don't want to give it that much energy. But I'll be honest, when I first found out about my Reddit snark page, it ripped me to shreds. At first, I could like laugh it off because I was like, oh, there's not that many people in here. Like, whatever, who cares? But then as the page started growing and as I became more addicted to reading this negativity and feeding into it and wanting to defend myself and wanting to prove these people wrong, the more that I continued to do that, the more I lost myself and the more chronically online I became. This page started to dictate every single opinion of mine about myself, about my friends, about my relationship, my family, like everything. And it made me so incredibly anxious that anytime I would leave the house, I was paranoid that any person that I saw, you know, going at the grocery store, if I'm on South Congress or I'm shopping at the Domain, if somebody would look at me for a second longer than I thought was like a normal interaction, I would just think, oh my God, are they on this page? Are they talking about me? Are they going to go and talk about this interaction and say that I was mean? And that literally ruled my world. Like it was living in my head rent free. And then I bought a house last summer and I couldn't afford both the mortgage and the rent. So I needed to get one gone. I think I used that joke before. Don't laugh at it because I'm pretty sure I recycled it. But no, it's so true. I got to a point where this page just completely ruined my self-esteem. I had no trust for people around me and I was so anxious all the time. I never felt like I was enough. And I just always wanted these people to like me and to approve of me and to like stop shitting on me. And I'll be honest, a lot of the things that they said were things that I already thought about myself. And that's why it hit so much harder was because I'm like, well, when you're insecure about something and then someone online that's a stranger that doesn't even know you is saying the exact same thing that you already think about yourself, it's obviously going to validate you to continue kind of feeding into that thought. And there would be the craziest stuff on there, like things I didn't even think about myself that I'm like, oh my God, shit, do I have a broad back? Like, do I have an ugly nose? Do I need to get veneers? And just stupid, stupid materialistic stuff like that. But when it came to my character and my personality and my friendships and my relationship, it really made me build up my walls because they would say things in this page about my life that were just so untrue. But the thing is that when you're reading all of these things that you believe are true, that are about you, and you believe it, and you've gone on to believe all of their words so much, when they start saying things, even though you know that they're not true, your mind is like playing this game where you're like, maybe it is true. Maybe I have been wrong. Like maybe they are right. I don't know. And for anybody who's listening to this that is from that page, I'm like here to tell you that your words do matter. And I'm not afraid to admit that that page like really, really affected me. And if your goal is to make me feel bad or to make me become self-aware or to just shit on me because it makes you feel a little bit better, it works. It really does work. And your words really, really do matter. And I feel like you should hear that because you can do so much with your words. Like your words have so much power. You can do so many amazing, incredible things. So it's so unfortunate that you're spending your breath and your typing and your words on something so negative. And I finally got to a point in my life last September where I was just like breaking down. And it was at this time where I decided I couldn't really do events anymore because I had so much anxiety of meeting hundreds of people and going to these cities and then having an experience where I would talk to girls to their face and they'd be so kind and so nice. And then they'd go home and then they would send me a nasty message or they would comment something negative about the event. And then I would just constantly check this snark page being like, oh my God, are the girls coming to these events also on this page? Are they just coming to the event because they hate me and they want to prey on my downfall? And so with that thought in my mind, I knew that I couldn't do the events anymore because it was just becoming so mentally taxing on me. And I have a whole episode talking about why I kind of stopped doing the events as much. Or maybe I posted on TikTok. I don't know if I ever actually posted the episode. I actually don't think I ever posted the episode because I talked a lot about this page and I wasn't at a point in my life where I was really ready to talk about it yet. I know a lot of influencers never want to talk about their snark page because there's this fear that you're going to bring more people to it and it's going to bring you more hate. But I'm finally, thankfully, at a point in my life where I just really don't care. I don't care. I don't read it. I don't feed into it. And I've finally gotten to a point where I realized that literally that doesn't matter. Anybody who would ever post on that page is not somebody that I want in my life anyways. And if there are times that I need to be called out, that I say things that are out of touch or they're insensitive or they come across as rude or mean, I would much rather somebody tell that to me directly and call me out. And I will acknowledge when I'm wrong. I have said some things, I have done some things that I'm sure annoy people or piss people off. And that's probably the reason why people have come to this page. I know that it's an outlet for people who just want to feel a sort of community that they don't have in person. And so I do feel sorry for them in that aspect that, you know, like you're going on this anonymous page, really, to like connect with people over a mutual hatred for a person that you don't know. Like, it's just not that deep. And the second that I allowed myself to realize that it's not that deep, I finally like cut the chains from that page and allowed myself to just like try to find myself again and form my own opinion of myself and strengthen my relationships and my friendships and all those things. So in September, like I was saying, getting back to the point, that was when I decided, okay, I don't think I can do the events anymore. And if I'm not going to be doing the events anymore, I can't have a full-time employee that I'm like paying to do these events because I don't have anything else for her to do. So coming to terms with that I needed to let someone go, that I had taken the leap of faith and like encouraged them to leave their other job and they put a lot of faith and trust in me, that was like probably one of the most difficult things I've ever done. That took a lot of self-awareness, a lot of reflection, and that was just like not an easy decision at all. And I was so down on myself about it. I felt so defeated and I felt like a failure because it was the first time that I, you know, had to admit that I was wrong and I like made somewhat of a mistake and it wasn't the fact that I made a mistake, but it was that it was affecting someone else's life and somebody that I really care for and that I really love and respect. And that was really, really difficult to come to terms with. And at that point as well, I was having a falling out with a different friend, which had nothing to, that one luckily like needed to happen. That was just a toxic friendship with a group of people and she's not part of our life anymore. But all that to say, that was happening at the same time as this whole revelation about I need to stop doing events, I need to let this person go, while I was also really, really, really struggling with my self-esteem. And when you don't feel confident, when you don't feel worthy of anything in your life, you don't feel worthy of the friendships and the relationships that you have either. And I didn't realize it at the time how much it was really affecting my relationship with Connor. And I really don't share that much about Connor anymore because of this entire experience. Like, it has really, really closed me off to wanting to share intimate details about our life and our relationship, because that page, people like love to use my relationship to try to tear me down or invalidate me or say that he doesn't love me or whatever. But there was a really long period of time that I didn't think that he actually did love me because I didn't think I was worthy of him. And that's so sad to say, but that thought like really, really kept me from being in a good place in our relationship, I guess, if that makes sense. Like, we are normal freaking people, okay? We both have so many things going on. He is so freaking busy with Waterboy and I'm so proud of him. He has been working so hard for the past 2.5 years that I've been with him on Waterboy and reaching this end goal and like trying to succeed, and he's been incredible. I've also been focusing on my own thing with Fun on Weekdays and having employees this past year and trying to get into all these different endeavors and teaching fitness classes, whatever. There have been so many different distractions in our lives that we're just like any other normal couple, and things just like weren't the best, and got to a point where we broke up for a couple of days in September because so many things had started to crumble all at once. And I really felt like that breakup, even though it was for like literally 5 days and it was so dramatic, for what? Because I had this experience and this revelation and I was like, okay, never mind. Actually, I don't want to break up. and we worked things out, but I'm so thankful for it. So what happened was I was in Chicago visiting my best friends from high school for my friend Brenna's birthday. And that was at the time that me and Connor had broken up, air quotes. We like took a break, whatever, if you want to call it that. And it was also like 2 days before that, I had let my employee go. 2 days before that, I had this like friend that I cut out of my life. Just all these things coming to head, just all at once. And chronically reading this page, like every single minute. I mean, I was refreshing this page everywhere I went. If I'm at the airport, I'm looking at it. I'm making sure that there's nobody at the airport that saw me and's like, oh, Jenna looks like shit. You know, whatever. It just, it really, really, really consumed my life. And so I had a moment when I was in Chicago, and this is the first story that I have where I experienced something that was like, I don't even have words for it. It was an out of body experience. I don't even know if it was real. To be honest with you, I have no idea. I might've been imagining this. We went to Equinox. We were at a yoga class, and I could not do yoga. I could not focus on anything. My heart was beating out of my chest. I had so much anxiety. I needed to get out of the room. I was so upset and just felt this like overwhelming need to leave the room. So I leave. My phone is dead, by the way, and all of my friends are at Equinox, and I just start walking, and I thought that I could find my way back to my friend's apartment. I eventually did, but I just wanted to go sit and be by myself and sit in silence and like sit and cry, to be honest, because I didn't really know what my future looked like. And a lot of times people will ask me, oh, what's your life look like in 5 years or whatever? I'm like, girl, I don't even know what it looks like right now. How am I supposed to know what it looks like in 5 years? I don't have a plan. I'm living every single day, day by day, just trying to figure it out as I go. And my life trajectory has changed every other day. And you guys have seen that. I've had all these different interests and I follow these different paths. Sometimes it works out. Sometimes it doesn't work out. But I needed a second to just like sit and be alone with my thoughts and allow myself to be still. I always am keeping myself busy and keeping my mind occupied. And I think it keeps me from really reflecting on life, I guess. So anyways, long story short, I find myself at this park and I sit down under this tree, this like big willow tree. And I'm just like crying. My knees are to my chest. I'm just crying. I'm just thinking. I'm looking up at the sky. I'm looking down at my knees and I'm just crying. And I'm like, I just don't know what I'm doing, like at all. And I felt like I had so much pressure to have the answers too, because a lot of times people ask me for advice. I'm like, oh my God, I'm such a hypocrite. I give people advice. I don't even know. I have no idea either. I'm sitting here under this tree and then all of a sudden a bug, like this giant bug, is crawling on me. So I get up and I wipe my tears away. And luckily there is a park bench just a couple feet away. So I go and I sit on the bench and it's around this little lake. There's a trail all around it, this dirt trail. And I remember sitting there with my knees to my chest again, crying, thinking, I don't know what else to do. Like the one thing that I haven't tried that my friends always tell me about is praying. And I don't know how to pray. I've never prayed. I don't know if you do it out loud. I don't know if you do it in your head. I don't know how you address him or it. You know what I mean? Like it was really such a weird experience because I felt like I wasn't doing anything right because I've never done it. And I didn't know if there was a right or wrong way. And so I just said, God, I am so sorry that I've never spoken to you before. I feel so guilty that I'm only speaking to you now because I'm asking for something from you. But I need a sign of like my life. I need some direction. I don't know if I'm in the right or wrong place. I don't know if I'm supposed to be with this person or if I'm supposed to be doing events or if my life is supposed to be like this. Like I just need a sign and I need some help. And I'm so sorry to ask you for this because I've never spoken to you before. And like the craziest thing, I just, every time I think about it, it literally makes me cry. So these older women are walking around the trail and they have this really cute dog. And then all of a sudden the dog comes like off of his leash and runs over to me, puts his paws on me and jumps up on me. And at the time I was thinking like, oh my God, this is a sign that like, if me and Connor break up, I have to keep Quincy. And that's what I thought it was, but that wasn't the sign at all. Then these women come over to me and I'm like crying even more so now. And they're like, oh, sweetie, what's going on? I'm like, oh, nothing. I'm okay. Like this just really made my day. I've been having a really, really tough day. And like your dog just, you know, brought me some joy. Oh my God, this like makes me so emotional. The one woman takes my hands and picks me up from sitting on the bench. I'm actually crying, okay? And she puts her hands on my face on like either side of my cheek. And then she kneels, like she brings my forehead to touch her forehead. And in any other circumstance, I think I would have been so uncomfortable and so embarrassed that anybody around me would have been seeing me. I would have been paranoid that there's maybe someone that follows me or like has seen me online that they're going to post about seeing Jenna in a park alone crying. And like, God forbid they know that me and Connor are like going through a rough patch, you know? In any other circumstance, I would have had those thoughts. But for whatever reason, I just felt so calm. And I felt like it doesn't matter because I just prayed for the sign. Now this woman is like coming up to me and touching my face and putting my forehead to hers. And she says, honey, whatever you're crying about right now is all going to make sense. And it's not worth it to, you know, spend your life like feeling this way about yourself. And I don't, well, she said some other things too, but honestly, it's like pretty personal. I don't really want to share it. And it was just so insane. And then that was it. And she hugged me and her friend hugged me. And then they walk away and I sit back down on the bench, just in absolute disbelief, like absolute disbelief. I could not fathom what just happened. And I was like, oh my God, I just prayed. Well, oh my gosh, sorry. I don't know. Am I allowed to say, oh my God? I say it a lot. I catch myself saying it all the time. I'm like, oh, I really shouldn't say that. But yeah, it was just really out of body experience. And I never shared that for the longest time because it was something that was like so personal and so intimate. And I shared it like maybe a month ago on TikTok or something because I had another experience, which I'll tell you about. So these women walk away and I'm sitting on the bench. I'm like, gosh, I wish my phone was on right now because I wish I could call my friends and just tell them what happened. But I just decided to take the next like 30 minutes to myself and just reflect on what happened and just still be silent. And I walked around the little river. I walked through this flower garden and just walked in silence. And people would pass me by and I think they saw that I was like crying or teary eyed or whatever. And a lot of people like smiled at me. And that was like a very life-changing experience that I think about all the time. Anytime I think about like, why are things happening to me? I don't get it. Like, why do I keep getting so lucky and so fortunate? And I keep thinking back to that experience. And that was the first time I had confidence that like praying for something could actually work. And so I get back to the apartment. I tell my friends about this story. First person I called to tell was my friend Sarah Elizabeth. And she texted me after and she's like, oh my gosh, thank you so much for sharing that story. Like, God is so real. Like the more you believe in him and the more that you like let him into your life, the more light will shine. And like, I'm so happy to see this journey for you. A couple weeks later, my like friend Sammy, I'm talking to her and she's like, I don't want to weird you out or anything, but I've always seen this like thing in you where I feel like it's like God has like chosen you to do these like really incredible things, and to see you like lean into it has been really cool. And so I don't know what. It still makes me like somewhat uncomfortable because I'm like, I don't know if I believe you because like, why me? I don't get it. But anyways, that happens. I get back from that trip and me and Connor work things out. And from that point forward, I vowed to myself to never, ever, ever look at that page ever again. I have not read a single hate comment about myself. Well, no, I've read hate comments because I can't stop that. People will comment things on TikTok and, you know, they make my search bar certain things. So I can kind of tell what people are talking about just based on context clues. But I have never looked at that page since that moment. And I vowed to myself, if I'm going to commit to like wanting to trust people and wanting to gain my confidence back and wanting to be a better girlfriend that feels more worthy of like the love that I've been receiving, then I need to just stop entirely. And so I did. And that decision and that experience changed my life so much. So for the past 8 months since that moment, I have really been like way more open to the idea of discovering my faith. And time went on and I prayed here and there, just gave like, you know, little updates. But as life got better, I feel like I stopped praying because I finally had, you know, what I was looking for. And then I felt guilty too because I felt like I was using that. I felt like, oh, well, now that I have what I need and I'm not praying to you anymore, like I'm just kind of, you know, I'm using you when it's convenient for me. And so it wasn't until maybe 2 months ago that I found myself in a position again where I've just been feeling really down on myself, like my body image. I haven't been feeling great. I've gained some weight and people have noticed it and have definitely commented about it. And it's been really like affecting my self-esteem and my worth. And, you know, obviously those ideas, they get in your head and you start to let that affect your relationship and how you feel worthy of people. So, and also too, Connor is like literally perfect. Like he's perfect. Everything about him. I just love him so, so much. And he's been so supportive. And any single time that I like am going through a phase where I just feel not good about myself, he is just, I'm so fortunate. And I'm so lucky for him. So anyways, okay. The next time I pray, I was in my car and I was like, hey, I know I haven't talked to you in a while. Like, I'm so sorry. I'm going to make it more of a commitment to talk to you more and like just give you life updates and pray over other people because you've done some like really great things for me and I'm really fortunate and I feel bad. So I said, in return, if you could just please give me a little bit of direction, I'm feeling a little bit lost because I didn't want to do events, but now I'm feeling like if I'm not doing events, then like, what's my purpose? What am I supposed to be doing? Because I don't really think that I'm supposed to just be making videos or just be filming ads. Like, it's not fulfilling me and I need something. And so a couple days later, so crazy, a couple days later, I'm at Home Goods as I always am. If you're ever looking for me in Austin, Texas, you find me at Home Goods. I'm either at the Sunset Valley location on Brody Lane, or you can find me up at the one that's on Research Boulevard, kind of near the Domain. I'm always there, like every other day. So one day I'm at Home Goods and I see these two women who we just keep crossing paths with at the store, and I'm overhearing them shopping and they're looking for good deals or looking for things that are on sale. And it seemed like they were trying to fit this like very specific checkbox of all these things they needed. And for whatever reason, I was just really drawn to them because I was thinking, oh, maybe they're staging apartments. Maybe they're staging houses. I shop a lot. I'm always at Home Goods and I'm always shopping for myself. Maybe I could do something good with one of these passions of mine. Like maybe this is a good, you know, thing that I could do. And so right before I left the store, I crossed paths with them one more time at the end of an aisle. And I just asked them like, hey, this is so random, but I've been seeing you guys around the store. I was just curious what you're shopping for. When I say my jaw was literally on the floor, she goes, oh, we're actually with St. Louis House and we're shopping for a homeless woman and her three children who are part of the program. And they are moving into their first apartment together. It's a one bedroom apartment. And we're trying to find enough furniture and toys and stuff for the mother and for her three kids. And I literally was like awestruck. I didn't even have any words. I was like, no way. A year before, maybe just about a month or so before this exact experience happened, I had hosted a clothing drive where I had my followers donate me their gently worn clothes. And then I categorized everything and we set it up as kind of like a garage sale where you could shop other people's clothes. You could shop unused PR. And it was just a fun little thing that I like to do to raise money for local charities. And this one that I hosted last year, I didn't have a charity in mind. I didn't know where I wanted to donate the money to, but I've always been drawn to like women's health, women's reproductive rights, just like women in general, underprivileged education, and also addiction and drug abuse because I lost a friend in college from that. And so I've just always wanted to support those types of causes. So after this event, I was Googling different charities that we could support, and I found St. Louis House, and it helps local homeless women in Austin, victims of domestic violence, and single mothers get off the streets and help them with materials and resources to succeed, whether that's getting them into an apartment, furnishing an apartment, helping getting their kids like some school supplies, things that mothers need in order to get jobs. It just, I felt very drawn to it. And so that is the foundation that I donated the money to last year. And then just a year later and a couple months later and just a couple days after praying, looking for direction, looking for sign, asking for like, how can I find more fulfillment? I met these women from St. Louis House in a place that I spend so much of my time. And I walked out of that store and I was like, oh My gosh, you did it again. You did it again. You're really leading me in the right direction. And I felt like this time there was no hesitation at all. I didn't question it at all. The next day I started posting saying I'm doing a nonprofit event for St. Louis House. I need to do something. I want to help these women go and furnish these apartments. And how cool would it be if the money that I raise from this event is what I use to purchase all of the furniture and to help pay for all of this stuff? Because yes, of course, we can donate the clothes from the clothing drive to the foundation, but they don't need clothes. They need money for the things that they like really, really need. I mean, there are so many clothes at Goodwill, and so much of the clothes from Goodwill go to the land. They do need like some cosmetic and beauty products, of course, but what they could really, really use are the funds. And so from that day forward, I just made it a mission. Like, I'm going to do another really big event. I'm going to raise more money than I raised last year, which was around like $4,000, a little bit over it. And then I just started connecting with all of these local businesses in Austin who wanted to donate their time and their energy and volunteer. And all of these things just started coming together. And I was like, wow, this really was a push in the right direction. And over this past month and a half, I've been like, I just feel so good and so whole and so grateful and thankful. And because of that, I've started like praying more regularly. And I've just been asking for God. I'm like, is it God? I don't know. I've been looking for someone or something to watch over my friend's pregnancy, make sure she's happy and healthy and safe, watch over my family as my parents are going through this health journey, watch over Connor as he's really stressed with Waterboy, and hope that all of his like dreams come true with it. And so every single time I pray, I'm not really asking for anything anymore. I'm just like wishing well, I guess. And so the event rolls around. The event was just a couple days ago, and I won't lie, it was definitely a huge undertaking because, like I said, I had to let my event planner go last year. And when this was the first event that I planned on my own, and it was a lot of work. Like, it was a lot of work. And Gabby was also in Louisiana during the holiday season. My family was just in town the week prior. And so I didn't want to have Gabby working on graphics and doing all of these images and stuff while she was home with her family. I wanted her to enjoy that time. So I made all of the posters, all of the signs, all of the raffle basket ticket things, like all of that stuff. And it all came together so beautifully. But the morning of the event, I get an email from a girl, Peyton, who was supposed to do a trucker hat bar. And she emails and says, hey, like, I'm so, so sorry, but I have COVID. I'm leaving the doctor's office right now. I don't want to get anyone sick. I'm so sorry that I have to bail. Like, please, let's stay in touch. And so I am freaking out because I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't want the venue to be bare because now I'm not going to have this one vendor that I also told a lot of people on the ticketing that there was going to be a trucker hat bar. So I didn't want people to come and show up and be excited for it and then it not be there and disappoint them. So I am like so flustered. I also have not heard back from this decoration company who was supposed to come do this like big backdrop. They reached out to me when I first posted about the event and like offered to do a backdrop and this sign and all these balloons and stuff. And I'd been emailing back and forth. And then like a couple weeks ago, I just stopped hearing from them. I'm like, you know what? They're probably just busy. I'll keep following up. We're just a couple days away from the event and I'm following up. And at this point, it was just too late to find other companies to do a backdrop. And so the day of the event, I'm like, I'm just going to assume that y'all are not able to come to the event anymore, which is so unfortunate. Like, I was really looking forward to this, but like, let me know if anything changes. So I make this TikTok about how, you know, I have this open space. I also had this thing fall through. If anybody out there happens to be a vendor and wants to be a part of this event, please email me. Please let me know. Guys, another thing happened. After I posted that video, I prayed and I said, please, 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 I'm just asking for everything to go as planned. I just want everything to be seamless. I want to make sure everybody has a good time. And I want to make sure that like people feel empowered when they come to this event. I want it to go well. And I prayed, asking for things to work out in my favor. Shortly after, I get a comment on my TikTok from Batch Babes, which is a decor company based in Charleston and here in Austin. And they say, we can help you out with a backdrop. So I message them and I'm like, I'm on my way to the venue. I'm literally texting at the red light. I'm like, here's my phone number. Just call me. So she didn't know. Her name is Mallory. She's the owner of Batch Babes. She didn't know anything about the event. So I just started telling her about it, what it's benefiting, what it's for. And she is like, oh my gosh, I have goosebumps. Like, I didn't even realize that it was a nonprofit event. We just really wanted to help you out. But now that we know this, like, we're even more excited that it's also for such a great cause. And you know, I'm so excited that this worked out. And as I'm on the phone with her, she goes, by the way, I have an employee. Her name is Layla and she's a vendor. She was wondering if like you still had that spot open because she was wanting to come and do it. And I said, yeah, absolutely. Like, what does she sell? What's her thing? She goes, it's a trucker hat bar. What? So I'm like, shut up on the phone. I'm like, no fucking way. Shut up. Are you serious? What's her name? Because at first she didn't tell me her name. I thought maybe her name was Peyton and maybe she didn't know that her employee is sick with COVID and maybe it's just the same person. But no, her name is Layla and the company is called Trucker. No, it's called lovertrucker.hatco. That's her Instagram. And so when I was on the phone with her, I'm like, I just need to tell you that I prayed for things to work out. And the fact that you called me and are now like going to take over this venue with the decorations, that's already a lot going on. But the fact now that you're connecting me to somebody who's also filling the exact spot of a trucker hat bar, like that's not a common vendor at all. If you were to tell me it's like, you know, just a boutique selling clothes, okay, that's pretty common. Or a jewelry vendor, that's pretty common. But a trucker hat bar, like what are the odds of that? So that in itself was a really crazy experience. And this was just 2 days after I had gone to my very first Easter service in years. My event was on April 2nd and Easter was on March 31st. So Connor and I went to church with our friends Austin and Amelia, and I didn't know what to expect because when I went to church growing up, it was in this Lutheran church and it's very, very like traditional. All of the music is played with an organ and you know, as you got the church choir behind you and they're in their like their ensemble robes and it's just a very more traditional older audience. And I didn't know what to expect at all, but I go to their church and it's in Bee Cave. I'm trying to think of what it's called now. I don't know off the top of my head, but I go in and it's like this giant stadium essentially. And they lower the lights, the service starts, they come on, they sing like 3 songs and the lyrics are all up on the board. I obviously don't know the songs. I don't listen to like worship music or Christian music really. But in the first like 5 minutes of the service, I was already crying and I can't really explain the feeling, but I was like, oh my gosh, I just feel like there is something in me that feels like a little bit fuller. And the whole premise of the service, they lost me at a couple points because I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. There was a lot of terminology, a lot of stories that are in the Bible that like, I've never read the Bible. I don't know what you're talking about. But the whole message was that Easter is a time where like you reflect on who Jesus is. And I'm not trying to get all like, you know, religious on you or anything, but it was just something that really struck a chord with me because I never thought I was religious because I didn't know who Jesus was and I still don't. And I don't know if I will. I'm definitely interested to know, but just the service in general was really, really touching. And there was a moment where we like took each other's hands and bowed our heads and we prayed and I was just crying like so heavily. And they were talking about how a lot of the people in this room probably haven't come to a service in a long time or maybe ever. But the fact that you showed up here shows that like you're interested and you want to be guided in this direction, or like maybe you were influenced to come by a friend or whatever it is. And every single word that they said, I'm like, he's talking about me. Like, that's me. Hi, I'm right here. Like, I came, I showed up, and I left that service. I was like, wow, that's just not what I thought church was, because in my mind, church was what I had experienced growing up, which was definitely not that. And yeah, it was very relatable. It was a service that, you know, it spoke about like traditional stories, I guess, but related to my life in a much broader aspect. And I don't know. I left being like, all right, when am I going again? Like, I'll go next Sunday, except for I'm going to be in Arizona. So that is my story of, I guess, all the crazy things that have happened to me lately. Oh, and another part of the service was that there's no coincidences. There is no such thing as luck. There's no like crazy run-ins. Like, things happen in your life for a reason because God puts them in your place for a reason. And I've just now started to believe that that is true. Because for majority of my life, I always thought it was coincidence or luck or manifesting or just what are the odds? But now I'm thinking like, no, That's not a coincidence. This was supposed to happen to me. I was supposed to be connected to these people from Batch Babes. I was supposed to meet this girl, Layla. I was supposed to meet these women in the park. Like, all of these things that have happened, I've just totally shifted my perspective on. And so it's been really overwhelming, to be honest, like really overwhelming. I'm like, I don't know what to do with this information now. Like, I don't know. So yeah, I just wanted to share that with you. A lot of people sometimes message, well, not a lot of people, but sometimes people message me and they ask like, Jenna, are you religious? And I always thought that was such a weird thing to ask people. Like, why are you asking me that? Like, what? But I think now I realize it's because they probably see something in me that they're like, I don't know. I get it now. I do. I get it now, but I don't get it fully. So this is my little update for you. I hope you guys enjoyed the story. Maybe it struck a chord with you. Maybe it didn't. I don't know. But for the most part, the rest of my faith journey, discovering and exploring this, I am going to keep to myself. I wanted to share this bit of the story with you, but I think it's something pretty personal that I want to discover on my own. So I will appreciate all of your nice messages. I'm sure so many people will message after this. And thank you guys so much for listening. I know this was a bit of a change of pace from some of my other episodes, but I really appreciate it. I love you guys so much. And I wanted to say that we raised over $10,254 for St. Louis House that will be donated directly to women in need here in Austin. And my heart feels very full. And I just feel a lot lighter, a lot happier, and I'm so thankful because so much of it is from you guys. So thanks for listening. I'll talk to you guys next week. Bye.